Hey guys, we're wrapping up week 3 with a game tonight in Cleveland, the Browns and Bills. This is the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Jeremy Uhas. Thank you guys for tuning in as we prep you for tonight's matchup. Second preseason game of the season. This is our third week of the Bills Wire Daily Podcast coming to a close. And on this episode is Bradley Gelber. Everyone probably knows Brad from his work on Twitter and interacting with Bills fans. Brad is the contributing radio host for Buffalo Sports Page and a guest correspondent for WBBZ. Big time Buffalo sports fan as well. Bradley Gelber, thank you so much, sir, for joining us on the Bills Wire Daily Podcast. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and doing this. Bradley, you have been on Twitter for how long now? Let's see, October of 2010. And you are just dominating Bills Twitter. Well, really, just Buffalo sports Twitter. Definitely a must follow. You have a lot of really, really funny tweets out there, and Bills fans seem to love it. So keep doing your thing, man. I know that people like following you and getting information from you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I think it's definitely a acquired taste, if you will. I think some people
sure
enjoy it more than others, but it's been fun, and Twitter is what it is, but it's crazy to think it's been 8 years now, since, or 7 years, whatever it's been. So but it's fun to connect with fellow writers or fans or whoever, so I think that's my favorite part about it though.
Sure, yeah, just meeting people, that degree of separation being so close online now. And I just wanted to get you on because I just kind of want to get your takes. We're entering today will be the Browns Bills preseason game number 2. Just overall, Bradley, like, what are you expecting just from the team in 2018?
I mean, I guess that's the thing. It's hard to know what to expect. I think that if you listen to the national media, you have broad paintbrush like that. Not every national media person is predicting the Bills to be bad, but for the most part it seems the general consensus is that they're not going to be good this year. They said this, the funny thing is everyone goes back to, well, they said the same thing last year and look what they made the playoffs and all this, but I think this year the main focus has to be on developing Josh Allen. I think at the end of the day, whether he plays, he doesn't play, he plays every game this season, he plays a handful of games, whatever it is, I think obviously Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have a plan in place to develop him, and I don't think they're going to feel any pressure from, fans or from ownership, at least from what I've seen. Terry and Kim said they're going to stay out of it and let them kind of decide how to handle it. So I think they have a plan in place, and they're going to go about it how they see fit. And I think that at the end of the day, if that means, the Bills somehow hang in there and they are in it in the end and they find a way to, maybe make the playoffs or come close, fine. But if it's about rebuilding this year and building around Josh Allen and going forward, I think fans will somewhat understand that, because really at the end of the day, do you want to keep going around 9-7, 10-6, and trying to sneak into the playoffs, or do you want to build a team that can actually compete when they make the playoffs?
Right.
Maybe finally dethrone the mighty Patriots at some point. I mean, Tom Brady, I know he keeps talking about he wants to play more and more and more years, but eventually he has to retire, unless he's a robot, but he's going to have to retire. So at that point, who's going to take over the division? And that's the hope, is that the Bills can actually compete in the postseason. So I think at this point it's tough to say, and until we even know who's going to be the starting quarterback, that's going to say a lot. If it's Josh Allen, maybe they're looking at the season as a learning curve for him. If it's AJ McCarron or Nathan Peterman, maybe they're saying we want to try and win now, and we're going to try and make a push for the playoffs again.
Yeah, not to put you on the hot seat a little bit right off the bat here, but if you were Sean McDermott, who would you start? Like, how would you, manage Josh Allen? Would you let him sit? Would you start Peterman or McCarron? How do you think you would handle it, just being from afar? I know that's kind of difficult to, imagine, but, if you're just sitting in that seat, like, how would you handle that situation?
So this is the toughest thing, obviously, and you know, I've listened to a lot of different opinions on this and talk shows and TV, and I've read everything I can read, and you know, everyone has a different opinion on how the Bills should handle this. And really, at the end of the day, obviously, it doesn't matter what any of us think. It matters what Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and the guys over there think. But you know, there's a case to be made for, you know, sitting him and letting him kind of just not be on the hot seat right out of the bat and kind of learn as he goes. I mean, I know a lot of people, that's not a popular opinion nowadays. I mean, if you look back to Aaron Rodgers, who sat, what was it, 5 years behind Brett Favre before he played, that's not how
it seemed like it. Yeah.
Right. So that's not how it's done anymore, though. These guys are thrown into action right away, and you sink or swim. So I think there's going to be a little bit of, and again, and you have to look at the competition, and that shouldn't really matter, but it kind of does matter in the sense that all of us, all the fans, all the media are going to criticize, or maybe unfairly so, but say, why could Josh Allen not beat out A.J. McCarron or Nathan Peterman? If he can't beat those guys out, does he have any business being number 7 overall draft pick? And that maybe that isn't a fair assumption, and obviously they drafted him knowing he's perhaps not as far along as some of the other quarterbacks that went, you know, most notably Josh Rosen, who I know a lot of mm-hmm. Bills fans were hoping that was still there. But, you know, maybe that's not fair to say that, but it's going to happen. We all know that's going to be the case if he doesn't start from day one. But the thing I think, too, is that maybe you say, you know, the other argument is, well, if they start him right away, they can find out, does he have what it takes? And, you know, just because he may struggle in his rookie season, you're going to be able to kind of tell if this guy has a franchise, you know, quarterback ability. And if not, okay, great, let's prepare to move on yet again to another quarterback. So I think, you know, and we talk about this too, if he does play well, you only have him on a rookie deal for a limited amount of time, and then you're going to have to pay him big money. And right now, we talk about how much cap space the Bills are going to have next offseason. So if he plays this season and they say, okay, you know, he's good to go, let's really make a run at this thing, Brandon Bean can, and the guys can invest heavily in assets around him next year and really make a push. So, you know, I started off in the camp when they drafted him. I said there's no way he should start. I mean, he was drafted as a quarterback that was going to be a quote-unquote project for the most part. He had, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. We all know about the footwork issues and the accuracy issues and all this type of stuff that he needs to work on. But the more I've read and listened to people talk that know this stuff, you know, that study quarterbacks and all this kind of thing, I wouldn't hate it if he plays right from the get-go. I guess my ideal scenario, since you asked me to give you a straightforward answer, I'd say I would be happy if he did not start right away and they brought him in, say, you know, later on in the season, after the bye week, down the road a little bit, because you have to remember, too, the start of their season schedule is a tough start. So,
it is tough, yeah.
I kind of would be on board with him playing this year, but I'm not in a camp that says he needs to start from day one or else, you know, he doesn't have what it takes. I think that, you know, they'll get him in at some point if he doesn't start, you'd think. But, you know, I still think a guy like A.J. McCarron, you know, they brought him in for a reason. Nathan Peterman was here. Obviously, they like Peterman or he wouldn't still be here. I know he's, you know, he had his ups and downs coming out of mini camp. It looked like, you know, he was the clubhouse leader to a degree. Like, he had, you know, around talk around him was he played really well, and maybe he's going to win this job. And I think things have evened out a bit. I think Adrian McCarron might be the, you know, the quote-unquote safe choice, and, you know, yeah, he's not going to dazzle anyone. But to a degree, we still don't know, you know, who A.J. McCarron is as a starter. He's relatively unknown. He hasn't started a lot of games before. So to me, there's a little bit of intrigue there as well. I think he's a bit, you know, more of a calming influence, and maybe that's something Sean McDermott looks to, is, you know, in a sense, kind of that Tyrod Taylor, just don't turn the ball over. Let's kind of see what we can do here. But, you know, it's each one of them presents a bit of intrigue. Obviously, we know what happened to Nathan Peterman last season. Wasn't the best, you know, for a rookie, but he's played well in the preseason, so there's some intrigue. Can he kind of come back from that? We don't know a lot about A.J. McCarron, and we don't know anything really about Josh Allen. So regardless of who starts, You know, it's going to be fun for all of us to kind of watch and see what happens.
Yeah, and then after the quarterback position for this upcoming game, I guess, there's not really a whole lot you can glean from a preseason game, I don't think, a whole lot, except for maybe the first half when your starters are in there. I'll be looking to just share with you what I'll be looking for is the offensive line and how they can hold up against the Browns' defensive front, who's pretty, you know, pretty stout up there with Ogba and Miles Garrett. So that's a kind of matchup. Just the front five, can they hold up and look good, and can they open up some holes? Will McCoy get a couple more carries and, you know, even start and play a little bit in this game where he did in the first preseason game? What are you going to, I guess, look for after the quarterbacks in this contest? Is it Corey Coleman and trying to redeem himself playing against his old squad? Or are you going to look or to the other side and look at Terod and see how he's doing with the Browns? What are you going to be looking for, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, endless storylines. I've never been this excited about a preseason game, and I'm sure it'll get here, and then it'll feel like a preseason game, and we'll all kind of go back about it, you know. But it definitely, I mean, you know, HBO couldn't have written a better script for Hard Knocks in terms of what all these matchups they have going. And Dez Bryant was there today, and I know the, you know, their crew caught him coming. All it just seems like that show kind of writes itself every year. But you know what, I think they obviously, like you mentioned, there's a lot of kind of apparent storylines. I think maybe some things that aren't as apparent, as you mentioned, the offensive line. I still think, you know, center's really the spot that they're still up for grabs between Bodine and Ryan Groy. I think that, you know, it'll be interesting to see kind of how they perform, and that's, they're still fighting for that spot. I think that, you know, it's interesting too, because when Josh Allen was in with the threes, he was behind like a horrendous offensive line. So the drop off from the twos to the threes was really apparent. And even at center,
yep.
I mean, I know Redmond's had a good training camp and all that, but the drop off from Groy and Bodine to him is, you know, a lot. So the fact that maybe he'll play, we don't know obviously yet if he's going to start, if he can be with the twos or what, but if he's with the ones or the twos, it's going to be a big improvement. So I'm kind of excited to see how the offensive line plays, you know, for him especially. I think wide receiver in general continues, obviously we're all looking to see kind of who falls in line behind, you know, the big three and Kelvin Benjamin, Jeremy Curley, and Zay Jones now seems like he's back and kind of cemented himself in that starting role. So you know, obviously Corey Coleman's going to be, not only is it versus his old team, but they basically said as much as he's going to play, how much he plays, what he plays. Is he just going to go out and run, go routes? Is he, you know, does he know a lot of the playbook yet? I mean, this will be interesting, but you couldn't ask for a better scenario for him to, you know, come out and showcase what he can do. I think he feels he was given a raw deal in Cleveland. I mean, we all, you know, if you watched Hard Knocks, you saw how things went down, whether they made it more dramatic than it actually was or not. I mean, I think he said as much as, you know, he doesn't feel like he was given a fair shot there, and as where he was picked. I mean, he clearly has the talent. It just comes down to, can he straighten out whatever's going on in his head and that desire to perform? So I think playing your old team, you feel cheated, you, what better motivation could you ask for? So I think it'll be interesting to see him out there. I said, you know, the defense is something that hasn't really got talked about much this year, because
everyone thinks it's set. I mean, everyone thinks it's pretty much set, right, which it may or may not be. You know, every year's news. So yeah, that'll be something to watch for sure.
Right, and people just kind of assume they're going to be, you know, good again, or the secondary is going to be good. But you know, there's all these little nuances that even in a preseason game, like you say, how much can you really take away from it? Maybe nothing, but, you know, and of course it'll be interesting. Everyone's going to be watching Tyrod, however you pronounce his name now, when he plays. Like, is he, you know, is it that electrifying quarterback that we saw at times, or can he not hit little, you know, over the middle throws like he struggled across his career here? So I'm just looking forward to a preseason game where you can actually at least enjoy some of it, and then go back to looking forward to week one of the regular season.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts a little bit about, we've been talking about this possibility. I know Bills fans have on Twitter a little bit. Maybe you know where I'm going with this. We've been talking about this a little bit on our past episodes here this week, and that's Khalil Mack in Oakland and Adam Schefter, you know, posting that there seems to be no end in sight, and he's again going to sit out his second preseason game. Just him in a Bills uniform, I think fans would be beside themselves in a good way. You know, I think most people would root for that type of pass rusher to be opposite of Jerry Hughes. And then you have kind of a groin, you know, lingering groin issue going on with the Bills' other defensive end that they brought in Trent Murphy this year. So Khalil Mack to the Bills would be music to a lot of people's ears. What do you think about it? And would you be surprised if McBean, that duo hasn't at least inquired about his availability?
Would I be surprised? No. Do I think it's ever going to happen? Not really. But it's fun to talk about. I think that, you know, we've all thrown around ideas, and as each day goes by and it grows more and more, I read today that by missing this second preseason game, he's up to losing $1.6 million. So, I mean, it's not small money at this point. But, you know, I the more this goes on, people keep presenting more scenarios. What would it take? What would the Bills have to give up? And, you know, people throw around, it's going to be at least one first round pick. And then they talk about, well, do you offer up a player like Shaq Lawson, or what do you do there? You give them a guy that can kind of soften the blow of losing Khalil Mack a little bit, but what happens with that? And I think the thing to me that is worrisome with that, if they can in this, you know, fantasy world make this happen, is, you know, what are they giving up, which they're giving up a lot to get a guy who clearly is one of the most dominant players, not just at his position, but in the game right now. But the thing is, he's 27 years old. So, you know, that's the one downside to it, is he's, you know, how many years does he have left? The good thing is at that position, you see a lot of guys that play well into their careers beyond, you know, a lot of other positions. So he could have, you know, a lot left in the tank, but you just worry that, you know, giving up a first round pick alone, that's a guy that's going to be fresh out of college, who's young, who that, you know, you can really have under control and under contract for a while. But, you know, with him, obviously you're getting a guaranteed bona fide superstar that doesn't need to maybe pan out. He's panned out completely. So, yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, it would be awesome. It'd be fun storyline coming back to Buffalo. You know, he went to UV, obviously. But, you know, will it happen? I don't think so. But, you know, the fun thing is Bean has done a lot of stuff. If you went back and said, do you think that would happen, we'd all say no. So, you know, maybe it does. Maybe he pulls it out, or maybe he's able to trade a second round pick and that's it for him, and we get another one of those trades that we can't believe happened. But yeah. At the end of the day, you know, it could be fun. I don't foresee it happening.
I just find it astonishing that John Gruden's just like not commenting on it, or not thinking that it's a distraction, or not wanting to get this guy on his team. I don't know, you know, we're not on the inside to the point where we're, you know, in the walls of what these coaches and GMs are thinking, or what Khalil has maybe done in the past that would give them any reservation to re-up him or extend him with a larger contract. But it just, from the outside, that which is all that we have to judge it from, it just seems really odd, doesn't it? Just John Gruden's kind of almost oblivious nature to what's going on about the whole situation.
Yeah, I think that, you know, first of all, and that's the other part of it, if they're going to trade and give up that much for him, you have to have an agreement in place that he's going to sign an extension. You're not trading for this guy.
Right.
And then having him lose him next season after giving up all that. But, no, I agree completely. And I think this goes back to why John Gruden himself is such a frustrating, you know, person. I love him as a commentator. I thought he was great on Monday Night Football. I always enjoyed watching him, even his, you know, ridiculous things he'd say. I just thought he was enjoyable as a media personality, but I've never liked him as a head coach. And I think he has this, like, cockiness about him that makes him good in the media. But I think at times it is why, you know, he didn't always connect with players as a coach. And I think that, you know, pretending, it's one thing to pull a Bill Belichick or a Sean McDermott and kind of not stick to the script and not really go into it, but with him, that's not really the case. It's like what you said, it's like he's just pretending that this has no impact on the team. It's not a distraction. It's one of the best players in the league. It's your best defensive player on the one of the best players on the team. Yeah. Of course it's going to be a distraction. You're asked about it every single day. So don't pretend, like, that is frustrating to me. And I think that, you know, I think the other part is he specifically said that this Raiders defense wasn't that good last season, with even with Khalil Mack. So how is Khalil Mack supposed to take that when your new head coach that's coming in is kind of criticizing or saying the defense wasn't very good? I mean, that's, you probably don't want to hear that coming in with a new head coach. So I think that's an odd situation over there. And I agree with you, though. It's definitely an odd thing that he's pretending that this isn't going to impact them as a team when he's, you know, one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, it'll be something to monitor here as we continue the preseason and see if he continues his holdout or traded or comes to an agreement, because they haven't even talked yet. But I know fans here will definitely be monitoring it. Like you said, every day it just kind of grows with more anticipation of, hey, what's next here. Did you watch the Buffalo Bills Embedded?
I did. I thought it was really well done. I thought that, you know, obviously it's very different from a Hard Knocks. I think that, you know, Hard Knocks is HBO and it's an outside entity and they're trying to create as much drama as possible, whereas Embedded is done by the Bills, so it's very, you know, safe in-house. They choose what they want to portray. But I think my favorite part of it was just seeing that Sean McDermott actually has a personality. He's not just the guy that's, you know, up there on the podium answering questions that are very matter-of-fact and straightforward. I think, you know, the scene everyone talked about was in the film room with, you know, Trey White telling the guys he wants them to have a personality, he wants them to have fun, it's football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I it was just enjoyable to get a sneak peek behind the scenes, because like you said, even if you're media and you're there at One Bills Drive and you're part of these press conferences and things, you see one Sean McDermott. We don't see the guy in the locker room that's actually, you know, after games, that's closed off, or in these practices, or in these, you know, film studies. So it was nice to see that there is actually a human being behind the facade there. And I'm looking forward to seeing kind of how they move forward with the series. But I thought it was well done, and it's definitely the way this stuff is going with teams and social media and media in general is giving fans and everyone kind of a behind the curtains look at stuff. But you know, that's a cool thing about this day and age now.
Yeah. The Bills, I've kind of always felt this way. They do have a good digital presence and do a pretty good job on social and being just engaged and know how to get Bills fans engaged. And this is kind of no different, you know, being the first of its kind, coming from inside its own team. I thought it was really well done, like you said. And they have a good staff over there, and I just wanted to mention it and throw them a bone and some kudos, because that was really well done. I think fans, too, just enjoy all that. So I hope there's just more of that to come, because fans really like to see that stuff, like you said, the character outside of just the guy at the podium giving you the sports cliches and answering the straightforward questions. So go Bills on that front. I hope that they continue to do something like that and do that in the future. They could do that even, too, with the Sabres or whatever things that they want to do that for with the Pegulas and their sports entertainment division. But I just thought it was just really well done and wanted to get your take on it, because I know that you had tweeted about that it was maybe tongue-in-cheek, but just a little bit better than Hard Knocks or greater than Hard Knocks. But you're right. You made a good distinction how they were just a little bit different in form. You know, HBO is kind of this third entity coming in, and the Bills obviously doing it themselves. But either way, I like the fact, too, that you saw McDermott, like, take command. And I thought the part where he had guys come up and play Madden was really interesting, a third and five situation, and calling the guys in front of a meeting to do that was kind of cool. So just gave a little bit of human insight to it, so I like that.
I agree. I just think that it was, you know, hopefully, like you said, Pegula Sports, obviously, since they have so much under that umbrella, they just have this power to kind of continue to give back to the fans and everyone. So, you know, hopefully, like you said, there's more of this stuff to come, and I don't see why not. Obviously, people want to consume that kind of content, so it's all interesting and good stuff.
Yeah. Well, Bradley, thank you so much. Enjoy the game tonight with the Browns and Bills. I know you'll be watching. We all probably will be intently to see what Josh Allen can do and just this offense and defense. And We'll definitely make sure to get you back on during the season on this Bills Wire Daily podcast if you're down for it.
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate you guys having me on, and enjoy what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.